This insert is brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.capepulpit.co.za.
Time to connect with the executive director of The Green Time. She's also an eco-consultant and a coach. Ach, and we're just very fond of Elma Pollard. Good morning, Elma.
Hi, good morning. That's lovely. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks for some great stories. You go on to thegreentimes.co.za and you'll just see beautiful photographs and some stories that will make you say, hang on a moment, I've never seen this anywhere else. That's why The Green Times is so special. Elma, let's chat about some of the headline stories that are appearing on The Green Times.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd unpack the top three ones really just briefly because we want to cover a wider area now. Mm. And the top one I think that's really, really important is the story about the Wild Trust NGO that is objecting to the MSC Marine Stewardship Council certification of the SA hake trawl fishery industry, which we actually spoke about a few weeks ago.
Yes, I remember.
And I think I told you at the time that, you know, I'm always concerned when I know about trawling, you know, the scraping of the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
And indeed, these people are saying that it has a huge impact on highly threatened, imperiled species like the sharks and the rays, and that the impact on these species were not taken into account in the application for the certification.
Oh.
And that insufficient measures have been taken to mitigate the risk. In fact, they talk about, you know, the bycatchers is the big issue because
yes.
they catch all these other things. And those bycatchers have very high mortality. It's they kill 1,500 tons of bycatch per year. So that means, you know, mostly when they've already been caught, they get tossed overboard, but they're mostly dead.
So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about extra things that get caught apart from the fish they were hoping to catch?
Well, if you scrape you know, a net, open net on the bottom of the sea ocean, you bring along everything.
Yeah.
Not just the particular fish that you're looking for. So that means everything else also dies.
Yikes.
So, I mean, I watched this movie called Seaspiracy last night. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen the title. I've not watched it yet, but I will on your recommendation,
Elma. Do yourself a favor. I'm sorry. This is every family must see this.
Yeah.
And there, of course, it illustrates also clearly the impact that these trawling nets have on the bottom of the ocean. And they're huge. They take in something like as big as a couple of Boeings. You know,
wow.
It's very, very big. So, They've objected to. They've got 13 objections, and so there's a case going on, and we will be watching this because this is incredibly important. Which means we have to rethink buying the hake again that we thought was safe.
Yes.
And this is how it goes. We're constantly learning more, and we will be adjusting more and more to how can we safely live on this planet so we don't impact on everything else in a bad way.
Yeah, go and have a look. There's some very, very powerful photographs, actually, when you see a lot of what Elma's talking about. The photos really do help to drive the message home. So thanks for that, Elma.
And then the other one is now one of the top polymer producers, which is, of course, plastic producers called Safripol.
Mm.
And they have just signed the Operation Clean Sweep Pledge as part of their Let's Plastic Responsibly campaign. And we know we're all worried about the plastics in the environment.
Hmm.
And so the idea is that the entire plastic industry has to cooperate together to try and keep plastic out of the environment and to keep plastic in a circular system where it's constantly reused again and it never actually gets out. And they're saying the big issue here, why they had these pellets leaking out at KZN, and then that actually even floated down to us down
wow.
here. And these pellets are very difficult to manage. They say the problem is bad waste management. But you can imagine transporting bags with these tiny, tiny little beads, essentially, of plastic.
Mm.
It's very difficult to keep that safe. So, it's interesting because the movie also, interesting, last night, they speak about the fact that we are also upset about plastics getting into the ocean, but that 41% of the plastics that get into the ocean is actually from the fishing industry. It's
Goodness.
Those trawling nets, those very nets and fishing line. So that has an even bigger impact. But yeah, so we learn. And then I just wanted to touch on the World Frog Day that was recently.
Yes.
And I wanted to understand why are frogs so important. And, you know, there are 6,000 species on the planet. And what I didn't realize is they are the amphibians are the most threatened animal group on the planet, very top of it. So since 1980, we've killed more amphibians than any other animal group on the planet. And also some interesting facts I found was that they absorb water through the skin, which I didn't know. And when they hibernate during winter under the water, some of them that live in the water all the time, which, for example, the tatana that we spoke about recently actually lives under the water, then they actually absorb oxygen out of the water through their skin. That is how they can get through a period of hibernation when it gets too cold. So, and it's only 0.01% of the world's fresh water is currently available to the frogs, which is very little. And yeah, and in 2020, the post office, South African Post Office, actually brought out 4 new stamps to commemorate and to create awareness about our threatened frogs. So I didn't even know that people still use stamps. Huh. But you know, it's interesting. It's on the thing. And then, of course, 41% of all frogs worldwide are threatened.
So that's some 3 top stories for you to check out on thegreentimes.co.za. Elma, just in closing, when we go to the supermarket, as an example, they have health food sections. So they'll take all different kinds of food, whether it's a biscuit that's sugar-free, or whether it's a muesli that's sugar-free, or whether it's a dairy-free product. And they keep them all together in a section. So if somebody says, I'm looking for something, I want to change the way that I'm eating and taking better care of my health, I'd like to avoid this and that, I can find it all in one section. But if you want to buy something that you know is environmentally friendly, you've got to really look for it. It's not obvious. Would be really great to be able to go to a shop and say, look, you want to buy, I don't know, I'm going to pick one, earbuds, because I know there's something you often speak about. There's so many of them, those little plastic pieces. They do make biodegradable ones, and perhaps you have a comment on that. They should have a section in the supermarket saying, here's all the things, or many of the things that you want to buy anyway, but here are the eco-friendly versions, whether it comes to a bottle to drink out of, or the way you're going to clean your kitchen. These are the best options that are going for those who are more green conscious. I think that'll be really nice to have a whole section just on that.
I suggested that long ago to supermarkets, but of course the other suppliers won't be happy, because now suddenly you are not green and you are green. You know,
I see.
There's this division happening. And then also, what exactly is green about it? You know, it might be a organically grown thing, but it's flown in from Israel.
Yes.
So there will have to be a battery of markings on every packet. A little aeroplane, if it was flown in, for example.
Yes.
A carbon footprint number, exactly. So now they are suggesting that they must rather translate the footprint into the price.
Okay.
So that the more affordable things will be the food with the least footprint, because it's too difficult, it's too complicated to figure out the footprints of everything. And I rather support that, because it will also then motivate us to look at local, affordable, organically grown, etc., and seasonal, of course, which is incredibly important to the body as well, because we are adapted to certain seasonal foods. And that will make it easier. And that is what is being discussed at the moment, and we will get there. But it's just wonderful that people are actually wrestling with these things now. I mean, I read this morning that asparagus has a higher footprint than meat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fascinating. Yeah, I posted it on the Facebook page. You'll find it there. So, I mean, we are just in such a fascinating learning curve. But, you know, we're getting there. We're going forward.
Well, look, if Elma Pollard is still learning every day, then we can have a little bit of peace in the fact that we're all on a journey. But we can't be on a journey going nowhere, and we can't be standing still on our journey. We've got to keep moving. That's why we're grateful for you, Elma. So
we are here in Earth School. We are here. It's all about learning.
And we're grateful we can learn alongside you. Elma Pollard, editor of The Green Times. And you can find those headline stories that Elma shared with us this morning, and many, many more, on thegreentimes.co.za. Thanks so much, Elma.
Have an awesome green week further.
And you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.